Well, good evening, and if you're joining us back, welcome back. How many people were here this morning? All right, I won't tell you a lot about myself then, because you already know as much as you want to know. One thing I failed to share with some of you this morning is we also live with another kind of animal, I guess, in our home, not our children, but a 14-year-old dachshund named Champ. And Champ has came along with us about the same time my mother-in-law did, if you do the math. And it was interesting because the reason Champ is called Champ is that one of our son's baseball coaches brought this dog to the field. And my wife comes over with this little puppy and she's like, "Isn't he the cutest thing in the world? Don't we want to take him home?" And I'm like, "Nope. No, we don't." And I said to my son, my older son, I said, "You know what, buddy? If you hit a home run, you can have the dog." Next pitch, he gets pelted in the side of the head and goes down. And somebody in the stand says, "Does he get the dog?" I said, "No, it wasn't a home run. They got the dog." And the dog owns the house, and we pay the mortgage. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we just thank you for this time to come again and to hear your word. And I just ask that you be with me this evening and that the words be your words. That you open everyone's eyes and hearts and mind to what you're calling them to do and how to serve best in your world. We thank you for this church. We thank you for all the things that you give us. And we especially thank you for your grace, because it is enough. And we ask this all in your son Jesus' name and pray. Amen. So tonight I'm talking a little bit about compassion, collaboration, and creativity. And there are three of the values that I shared with you this morning of the Children's Aid Society. And I want us to look at where in the scripture we're called to be compassionate, where in the scripture are we called to collaborate with others and work together, and where are we called to be creative. And then tomorrow night I'm going to talk about our other three values that I shared with you this morning, again from a scriptural perspective. But I like to start with stories, as you probably have noticed. And I want to just tell you a story about a little boy. Not one of my little boys, but a little boy. And this little boy so wanted to meet God. And he knew that wherever God was, it probably was going to be a long trip to get there. So that morning when he set out to meet God, he packed a whole box of Twinkies and a six-pack of root beer in his bag. And as he started his journey, he was walking through his town. And when he got about three blocks, he met this woman sitting on a bench. And she was just sitting, staring at some pigeons. The boy sat down next to her, and he opened his bag up. And he was about to take the drink from a root beer when he noticed her. And this lady, old that she was in his mind, looked hungry. So he reached in his bag and offered her a Twinkie. She gratefully accepted it and smiled at him. Her smile was so pretty that the boy wanted to see it again. So he offered her a root beer. And once again, she smiled at him. And the boy was so delighted. They sat there all afternoon eating and smiling and eating Twinkies and drinking root beer. But they never said a word to each other. And as it grew dark, the boy realized how tired he was. And he got up to leave. But before he got more than a few steps, he turned around and ran back to the old woman and gave her a hug. She then gave him her biggest smile. When the boy opened the door at home and a little short time later, his mother was surprised by the look of joy on his face. And she said to him, "What did you do today that made you so happy?" He replied, "I had lunch with God." But before his mother could respond, he added, "You know what? She's got the most beautiful smile I've ever seen." Meanwhile, the old woman, also radiant with joy, returned to her home. Her son was stunned by the look of peace on her face, and he asked her, "Mother, what did you do today that made you so happy?" She replied, "I ate Twinkies at the park with God." But before her son responded, she added, "You know, he's much younger than I had expected." Too often we underestimate the power of a touch or a smile or a kind word or a listening ear. an honest compliment, or a statement or a small act of caring, all of which have a potential to turn someone's life around. People come into our lives for all different reasons, all different seasons, and all different times in our lives, don't they? Our first two scriptures, our value of compassion, is to understand others and give of yourself. The first scripture is from Psalms 145, 8 to 9. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich to love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. The second scripture is from Matthew 14, 13 to 14. When Jesus heard what happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. And hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot. And when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. When you think about compassion and what that means, and how do we do compassionate acts all the time? And when you think about that, it's, again, it's just spending some time with someone, or just talking, or just sitting with them, and just having that opportunity to learn a little more about them. I say to our staff at the Children's Aid Society all the time that it's all about the relationship. It's all about spending time together. We have spent some wonderful time with the Brubakers at their bread and breakfast these last 2 days. And Naomi fed us so well this afternoon that we had to take naps. But we shared time together. We shared stories together. We shared opportunities to be in relationship with each other and to demonstrate the love and compassion we have for each other. The second one is collaboration. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And that sounds like an easy command to do, doesn't it? Just to love one another, right? It's so simple, it's so easy. But have you ever had that one person that really just gets on your nerves? They're the most difficult person to love, aren't they? Sometimes at the Children's Aid Society, believe it or not, parents that we're trying to help often are those difficult people. And that's why we ask for prayers for our staff and family. Because sometimes loving the other is one of the hardest things we can do. But we're commanded to do that, aren't we? For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have all the same function, so in Christ, we throw many from one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. I think about everyone here, and what different gifts do you have to offer in this world? What different gifts are you given? I know for me, one of my strengths is to be able to bring people together and to work as a team. But one of my greatest weaknesses is sometimes in the details. And I have to tell you, if it wasn't for my administrative assistant who's willing to fill out my credit card reconciliations at the office, they probably never would get done. Because that detail of data is not something that I'm gifted in. And it just, to me, seems like a waste of time. But you have to find out, what are those gifts that you bring to this body? What are the gifts that you bring to the body of Christ? The things that you can share and that you can do so that when we come together as a people and as one in that body. I had the opportunity to go to Kenya, Africa in May of last year. And I learned of a term while I was there. It's called Ubuntu, and it means I am because we are. And what Ubuntu means is that it's a Zulu word and a traditional African concept where it's a term for the humanists for caring, sharing, and being in harmony with all of creation. I got to meet a group of women who lived in a village outside of Nairobi, one of the poorest villages in that area. Now, school is public in Kenya, but you can't attend the school unless you have the proper uniform. You can't attend the school unless you can afford the books. So it's a public school, but there's still things that families need to buy. And this group of women that I met that day were all sitting on the ground, knee to knee, in a circle of about 12 women. And these were mothers of children in this village. And they came together once a week to pray and have a group meeting together. And what they did was, every meeting they came to, they would pay what they could into the group, and each was assessed what they could do. And each one put a little bit of money into this pot together. And what was really interesting to me is that each one of them took leadership for the next week. And the person behind them was the keeper of the money. The money never went to a bank. They held it in community with each other. And what they would do is make loans to each other to buy uniforms for their kids to go to school, to buy books for their children to go to school. And one mother said, "If it wasn't for this group, my life would not be as good as it is." And I said, "What did you do with your loan money?" She said, "We put a bathroom, a toilet in our home." I then asked her, "Why are there no men in the group?" And she jokingly laughed and said, "It's because we can't trust them with the money." But this group of women demonstrated Ubuntu and how, coming together as a community, they could lift themselves up. Because in Kenya, education is so important for the children to go and get off and get out of the village and out of the poverty that they were living in. We visited a preschool, and the teacher was a very tall African woman. And when I went in, she said, "Sit down." And I squished myself in this little desk, because in that classroom was a one-room classroom, no lights, no computers, and she was teaching with just posters on the wall. And she was teaching what she called the bebés, the preschoolers, the little kids, the 4, 5, 6-year-olds. And she had about 40 of them in a classroom. And she was not only teaching them their native language of the village, she was also teaching them English, and she was also teaching them Zulu language of the country. And I was blown away that this one teacher was teaching 40 children 3 languages. She was demonstrating what it means to come together in collaboration and work. And then there's a quote by Archbishop Desmond Tutu. "It's all about the essence of being human. It is part of the gift of Africa that we'll give to the world. It embraces hospitality, caring about others, being willing to go the mile for the sake of another. We believe that a person is a person through other people, other persons, that my humanity is caught up, bound up inextricably with yours. And if I dehumanize you, I inexorably dehumanize myself. The solidarity human being is the contradiction in terms, and therefore you seek to work for the common good because your humanity comes into its own in community and in belonging." The last thought I want to leave you with is from Romans. "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have all the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body and give each member that belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us." And then looking at John, "The greatest collaboration that ever occurred. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. And whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." That is one of the greatest collaborations, where God loved all of us so much that he sent Jesus to be with us, to be God with us, to be our Emmanuel and live here. And finally, creativity. We hear so much about creativity in today's world and what's happening with being creative. And the scriptural focus comes from Genesis. And in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning. And then whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. And when you think about being creative and what that means, think about the creative things in your own life and look at it and think about it differently. I'm going to finish with a little story of another little boy whose father really didn't have a lot of time for him. And the little boy would go to his father and say, "Daddy, can we go out and play catch?" And the father would say, "Not today, son. I need to watch the football game." And he'd go away. And then the boy would come back and say, "Daddy, is it now time for us to go out and play catch?" And he'd say, "Not today, son. I need to watch the baseball game." And then the child would come to him again and say, "Daddy, is today the day we get to play catch?" And the father grabbed a magazine off the coffee table, and on the magazine was a picture of the world. And the father took the magazine and the picture, and he ripped it into about 40 pieces, little tiny pieces. And he handed it to his son, and he said, "When you can put the world back together, then it'll be time to play catch." Well, the little boy went off to his room, and about an hour he came back with the magazine all put together. And the father said to the little boy, "How did you do that so quickly?" And he turned it around and he said, "Because on the back was a picture of Jesus." And he said, "Once I put the picture of Jesus together, the world came together." He said, "Daddy, it's time to play catch." When we put Jesus in our life, when we put the picture of Jesus together collaboratively and creatively, the world comes together in our humanness. Working together, working creatively, working collaboratively, and working with compassion is what we at Children's Aid Society try to do. We try to do this for all children so that all children can feel safe and feel loved. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we thank you once again for this opportunity to gather and praise you and worship. We thank you for this time to just hear your word and to understand a little better about those in our world that maybe need to be served. We thank you for those gathered here tonight. As we listen and we hear your word, help us to understand how we can maybe be a little more compassionate in our own lives to others. Maybe turn the other cheek at the time when someone is just being very difficult. Also give us the courage and the creativity to look at things differently, to flip it over and look at the backside and maybe see the answer that is before us. And finally, just help us to work together to Ubuntu this world so that we may all be together as one in our humanness. And we ask this all in your Son Jesus' name and pray. Amen. Will you please stand and join me for the closing song?